This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. And look, the legislature's been gone for a few weeks. Looks like they're going to be coming back. I'm going to talk about that issue and more with our publisher here at Texas Scorecard, Michael Quinn Sullivan. Michael, excited to talk about the legislature coming back just in a couple weeks, right? The show is circus is coming back to town, so to speak. But first, I want to talk about an article that we've got up at TexasScorecard.com right now. Looking at part of our series of autopsy reports, looking at some of the big issues of what did and didn't happen when the legislature was here earlier this year. And one of those issues and one of those kind of rare victories for conservatives this session was passing spending limits, or at least strengthening spending limits on the state.
Yeah, I mean, it almost passed without much observation. You know, something that conservatives have been talking about for, you know, going on 20 years, close to 20 years, with a real emphasis push for more than a decade on spending limits, strengthening the state spending limits. Just for a, you know, quick history, in the late 1970s, Texas, like several other states, followed the conservative example of California. That's how you know
that's
you're talking
how long
about
ago
it a
this
long
was.
Time. Yeah. When Ronald Reagan was governor of California, California put in place spending limits to limit the growth of government. And so Texas, which at the time was controlled by Democrats, there was this big hue and outcry. You know, Reagan did really well in the 76 presidential campaign in Texas. Didn't win the primary, but did really well in Texas. And so a lot of people were kind of looking at all the things Reagan did. And so the Democrats kind of, you know, they were already seeing Texas was maybe going to be going that direction. And so they did a constitutional amendment to limit the growth of government ostensibly in Texas. But it was a really weaselly, as you'd expect from the Democrats, very weaselly kind of limitation that that said, well, you know, we're going to limit the growth of government, but we're going to let the legislature define the limit. And from that point on, they actually never defined the limit. It wasn't until the 1990s that they defined a limit, and they defined it as the growth in projected growth in personal income, which is a meaningless thing. One, you ask 10 economists to define personal income, and you'll get 30, 40, 50 different answers. And then when we talk about projections, suddenly you're talking about taking chicken entrails, throwing them on the ground, and, you know, kind of deciding what will some family make 4 years in the future. It's insane. So no limit. So now starting in the early 2000s, there was a push to restrict the growth of government by tying it to population growth and inflation, two things that are very well defined. A lot of push. You had, you know, a lot, 90-some percent of Republican primary voters, like 2012, if I remember correctly, say, yes, we need to limit the growth of government to population and inflation on the Republican primary ballot. Non-binding, but still kind evocative.
And certainly that's a spot, right, when those ballot propositions are placed on those Republican primary ballots. I mean, that's the start of a lot of legislation, right? You start to see exactly what kind of support certain ideas get. And this was certainly one of those examples, but hard to believe it was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. And at the time you had State Representative Van Taylor, who then was State Senator Van Taylor, who's now U.S. Congressman Van Taylor, who was a big champion of that. When he left to go to Congress, Kelly Hancock, state senator from North Richland Hills in Tarrant County, kind of picked up the ball. He'd always been supportive, but he kind of picked up the ball running with it for the past couple of sessions. And this session, thanks to the grassroots, and the grassroots have been yelling and screaming about this issue for a decade. And in some ways, the grassroots have said, fine, we can't trust you to limit growth, then we want real cuts in government. And that was kind of the big push this time. And so you saw lawmakers go, oh, we ooh, maybe we should do that thing they asked for a couple of years ago. And that's where you saw the spending limits pass both chambers of the legislature and go to the governor there at the end of the legislative session.
Yeah, I mean, this was a bill, if people remember, even 4 years ago when the legislature didn't pass it, Governor Greg Abbott called them back to address that issue and a number of others. Yep. And then yet again, it was killed by actually then House Speaker Joe Strauss, the Texas House. And really, we didn't see any movement on it since then.
Well, the Senate has passed it, a couple legislative sessions running. The Senate's passed it, keeps being blocked in the Texas House.
Mm-hmm. And so that obviously changed this session. Senate Bill 1336 by State Senator Kelly Hancock, which does cap the growth of state spending at the rate of population plus inflation. Now, there are some exceptions to that as well.
Yeah, there are some exceptions, hopefully things that can be fixed and addressed in the future. Number one, it doesn't apply to federal money. Also doesn't apply to any part of the budget which is funding a disaster declaration.
Okay.
You have a hurricane or a pandemic, suddenly applies to nothing. But there are certain things that get carved out of that. But otherwise, it's a really good start. It's the right place. Now, the more important carve out of this is it doesn't take effect until the budget that will be crafted in 2023.
Right.
So at that point, you're talking about the 2024-2025 fiscal year budgets.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to see any benefit from this for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just, that's where if Republicans were smart.
That's a big if.
That's
a big joke. Depending on who we're talking about.
If Republican lawmakers were smart, they would take advantage of this opportunity in maybe one of these coming special sessions and let's immediately see those surplus dollars that will be generated from limiting the growth of government. Let's move those to property tax relief, real, substantive, actual, that you feel it and see it, property tax relief.
Well, that's something that, because we look at the budget that was passed this session and for the praise that it's gotten from some, what it doesn't have is any additional property tax relief. In fact, the only stuff that's in there is the stuff that they passed 2 years ago. And people know, of course, that property tax relief still resulted in the average homeowner's property tax bill rising in Texas. Not exactly relief.
Republicans have become the party of, we're going to grow your property tax burden slower than the other guys. And I'm not sure, one, that doesn't work really well on a bumper sticker, and two, that's not what people thought they were signing up for. The whole idea of having a conservative Texas budget, and you hear, Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick and everyone singing, patting themselves on the back for passing a conservative Texas budget that lives within population inflation, that is completely and totally meaningless. It means, in fact, after all my praising of Kelly Hancock, what he passed is meaningless. It's trash. It's a dung heap if it doesn't translate into something practical for citizens in Texas. If it doesn't translate into something like real, actual property tax relief, where your property tax burden next year is lower than it was this year. If your property tax burden isn't reduced significantly, like enough that your family sees it and feels it and can do different things with that money, then none of this mattered.
Mm-hmm. And heaven forbid, too. I mean, maybe looking forward to things that could be done in the future, but, heaven forbid the size of government actually shrink instead of just not grow as fast.
That's right. You start actually shrinking government. Some of these agencies, there's news that just started being reported on yesterday about the an agency of state government. The Democrats wanted to create this new kind of bureaucracy within the Health and Human Services Department, and killed by the Senate. And so the bureaucracy is just making it anyway, hiring new people, new budgets, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's insane. They don't even have legislative approval and they're doing this. It just goes to the need to really cut government, not just slow its growth.
Absolutely. Well, you hinted at a special session. You mentioned that.
It doesn't feel special.
This is something they could talk about. We don't know. So earlier this week, Governor Greg Abbott confirmed what he had already said would happen, that there will indeed be a special session here. In fact, there's going to be multiple special sessions, as he's previously discussed. But now we finally have a date for that. That's going to be July 8th, which is less than 2 weeks from now. So circle your calendars, I guess, right? The legislature is coming back to town. And with that announcement of when the special session would be, it was missing one key detail, which was what it would be on. Of course, when the governor calls a special session, right, the legislature meets for 140 days every 2 years, but the governor can call 30-day special sessions on any topics that he chooses. And so far, we don't know what those topics are. But based on what he has said previously in the last few weeks, we have a good idea of what some of them could be. I kind of want to run through some of them with you. I think the big one that a lot of eyes are on and a lot of eyes were on in the last few days of the legislative session last month is election integrity.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in a special session. You know, the Democrats have already said, I can't remember if it's you or Jeremy Kitchen who wrote about this, and the Democrats have already said, we might walk out, we might leave again, which of course is what they did, you know, here at the end of the regular session. Mm-hmm. It's what they did in 2003 during legislative redistricting. They all fled to Ardmore, Oklahoma, and did, you know, went to New Mexico and other places. So I think that, you know, they think that that's the right look, is to just, you know, abscond and bust the quorum. Now, the disgusting thing most recently compared to that action in 2003 was that in 2003, no one knew they were doing it. They all, in the middle of the night, you know, boarded a bus and went to the airport and got on a private plane and all. It was very cloak and daggery kind of thing. You know, this time you had Republican Speaker of the House, Dade Phelan, go to the Democrat caucus and say, well, guys, you know, I know you're thinking about busting the quorum, but golly gee, you know, I'm not going to stop you. It would be nice if you didn't, but, you know, if you do, I guess we'll have to have a special session. I don't know what we want to do, but I mean, just insane. He had the opportunity to lock the doors. He had the opportunity to have the sergeant-at-arms compel them to stay, all those kind of things, but he didn't do it. And so I guess the question a lot of folks should have right now is, what's Dade Phelan going to do different? You know, what is Greg Abbott going to have Dade Phelan? Everyone kind of gets the joke that Dade Phelan is Greg Abbott's man in the Texas House, and Dade Phelan only does what Greg Abbott wants. And so that there has to be some sense coming from the governor and others that this has to be something more than political theater. Otherwise, I think the gig is kind of up on the little game between Greg Abbott and Dade Phelan.
Oh, we'll see what happens there. Another issue that he has specifically said will be on a call for a special session previously, or earlier this year, is bail reform. That was one of the governor's priorities. And I'll say this about bail reform. I've gotten the opportunity over the last several weeks since the legislature's ended, as have you, to go around and talk to a number of different groups, True Texas Project and some others, about the session. And nobody that I've met at any of these groups has said that their top priority is bail reform.
Yeah, I don't even know what he means by bail reform.
Well, reform means change, so it can mean anything, right?
It could be anything. Could be good, could be good, you know, could be bad. Yeah. You know, the legislature, you know, I think that the experience you've had, that I've had, that I've had, you know, when Governor Abbott announced bail reform as one of his priorities for the entire legislative session, a whole lot of people went, what did he just say? And begin, because it hasn't been on anyone's radar, really. I think that there are a couple of big kind of moderate establishment donors for whom this is an important issue that I guess he's trying to appeal to. But it certainly is something that people hear. And I think that you see that reflected in some ways, you know, by the legislature's complete lack of action on that. You know, no one did anything on the issue, because I think that the governor is saying these, you know, putting these three words together, but yet no one knows what they mean. You know, and he hasn't really seemed to deem fit to define what he means by Texas bail reform.
Right. Another issue that he has talked about potentially putting on the calls, we'll run through a few of these. One, banning critical race theory, which if you were to listen to some of the lawmakers in the Texas House, you would have thought they already did the session, but perhaps not.
Yeah, not just a couple lawmakers, but Greg Abbott himself. They all went out, you know, beating their chest. Oh, look, we banned critical race theory. The Wall Street Journal reported it. You had CNN, all these, you know, Wall Street Journal approvingly, CNN, of course, just disapprovingly. Oh, look, Texas banning critical race theory. A lot of folks who read the legislation, watched the debates in the Texas House, the Texas Senate, no one saw the ban, but you know, they were cheering it on like it happened. So now the governor, I guess when it came time to either sign or veto legislation, the governor actually finally read the legislation he had been cheerleading. And so he went ahead and signed the legislation, but he says, we're going to have to actually ban critical race theory in the upcoming special session, indicating that State Rep. Steve Toth and other Republicans in the Texas House just, you know, for whatever reason, they allowed themselves to get completely rolled on this. Mm-hmm. Other Republican-controlled states have managed to actually ban critical race theory. Mm-hmm. In Texas, they just played the silly game of coming up with a red, white, and blue curriculum that the Democrats just started shoving leftist stuff in. And I think that maybe Steve Toth and other members of the legislature should not be cute in the special session if they're given the opportunity, and instead take a look at what the other states have done, follow that kind of a legislative pattern, and actually just ban critical race theory. Don't be cute. Don't try to suck up to the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Don't try to be their friends. Don't try to, you know, be congenial and work with them. They don't want to work with you. Mm-hmm. Just ban critical race theory.
Another issue that he has hinted could be on a call is free speech on social media. Folks, you remember, I think we were watching this together at the same time. This was another one of those bills, not frankly unlike the election integrity bill, where House leadership teed it up on, mm-hmm. One of the last days for Democrats to kill. And they did.
We have all watched, I think, with varying degrees of horror as we've seen just the mighty power that we've given the social media giants to silence people. And I'm not just talking about, bad orange man Donald Trump. I'm talking about, human beings suddenly finding themselves without access to Facebook, to Twitter, to Instagram, to, all the different kind of things. The most galling part of this, I think, in my mind to this, Brandon, has been that here's the governor on the one hand saying we need the social media speech protections coming from the same governor who is thinks nothing of handing out millions and millions mm-hmm. of taxpayer dollars to Facebook and Google and Amazon and all these cats. I think that if Governor Abbott wants to show he's serious about this, maybe it'd be a good idea to just start turning off that money flowing to those mm-hmm. big companies, because that seems to be the only thing to pay attention to. They allow China, they allow all these, foreign dictators and potentates to say whatever they want on social media. So it says to me that all they listen to is money.
Mm. Now, speaking of money, all of this is in the context of an action that Governor Greg Abbott actually followed through on and did last Friday, when he signed the budget. Signed the budget for the 2022-2023 biennium. I think I have those numbers right. I don't know. Signed the budget, right? And used his power to line item veto Article 10, which is the section that funds the legislature. Now, as our friend John Francis points out, in one sense, it defunds the legislators, but really, is their salary where they're making the money, or is it, the lobby donations and everything else? I think that's an important consideration to make. But it would close, the staff, the agencies. Some people might think that's not necessarily a bad thing, but either way, it's sort of this interesting game of chicken.
They
might
have to get their own coffee if the special session extends beyond September.
It's this interesting game of chicken there, and everything is in this context where the new budget starts in September 1st. And, Governor Abbott has said that unless they do these items that he puts on the special session to, I guess his satisfaction, that he's going to keep the legislature defunded. Meanwhile, as you mentioned, you have Democrats that are saying, we don't want to play that game. We're not going to come at all.
And I won't be surprised if you see some Republicans like Lyle Larson from San Antonio and some others who, on principle to defend the sacred honor of the Texas House and the legislature also start, you know, don't show up under that circumstance. Mm-hmm. You know, I very snidely, I think, you know, said on social media, some of the fact, well, hey, it serves him right. None of them complained when he was being a dictator in 2020. So I guess what? He is now going to defund you in 2021. And none of those guys seem to find that as funny as I did. but I think that's the challenge a lot of the Republican legislators are going to have is that, and the Democrat legislators is, you know, they've given the guy a lot of power to do this, mm-hmm. and they're not going to have to make the bed. Sleep in the bed they've made.
Right. We're going to see what they put on there. Obviously, a number of grassroots activists, conservatives, have been asking for more items that we still have not really heard any response from the governor on, things like ending child gender modification surgeries, things like banning taxpayer-funded lobbying, a number of those conservative priorities that didn't pass out of the legislature. Most of them didn't pass out of the Texas House. You know, there's still time, right? Only the governor can put items in the call. In fact, he can add items during a special session. And so, you know, really, if there's any items that folks are wanting to see on a special session, the governor's the person who can make that happen right now.
Yeah, and the thing I think I would just kind of push back a little bit on, you know, kind of the litany of issues that we've talked about here. A lot of them are very important. These are critical things mm-hmm. that affect real people's lives. But there's almost nothing that is sitting there that affects everyone's lives in meaningful ways, quite like if the legislature were to, you know, to step in and do something big on property tax mm-hmm. relief. You know, something that would, you know, right now Texas has one of the highest property tax burdens in the country. You know, where you could actually make a real demonstrable improvement in people's lives. You know, a lot of the principal things, a lot of the kind of hot button of the day issue things are important to do and they should do. And there's no reason why they can't do mm-hmm. all of the above, except, you know, to your point, a lot of us aren't putting enough pressure on our legislators to actually do it.
Right. And well, we're sending, it's the same 181 members and cast of characters that didn't pass it earlier this year, but perhaps, perhaps a second chance. Maybe some of them will move it.
You know, one of the things that they didn't do during the legislative sessions we haven't talked about here has been anything real meaningful on ERCOT and the state's power grid. We started summer with warnings from ERCOT that, maybe prepared for brownouts and blackouts, raise the temperature in your home. So look, maybe by coming in July, the legislature will lose electricity.
I was going to say,
wouldn't that be great? And maybe that gets added to the end.
The power goes out in the Capitol. Who knows? Yeah, yeah. And last thing I should mention is, we've got these special sessions, plural, depending on how many the governor decides to call. But one that does need to happen is going to happen in either September or October. And that is redistricting and also allocating some of those federal funds from coronavirus relief that came from the federal government. Legislature is going to have the opportunity to allocate and budget out some of those things. And so that special session is definitely on the horizon for probably October. It's everything between now and then that is really up to the governor.
And you could almost see a situation, if the Democrats play their, leave town game, where you could see the legislature in session starting July 8th and running all the way through the end of the year, or at least up through Thanksgiving.
Oh boy!
which, again, it doesn't sound very special, but it does kind of go to the problem that particularly Dade Phelan, as Speaker of the Texas House, created mm-hmm. By only meeting for 76 days, by not accomplishing their work. If they had done these things in the regular session, we had to have because of the Census Bureau. A special session in October on redistricting. Nothing can change that. Nothing to do could change it. Can't blame anyone for that. But all this other stuff is because the legislature didn't listen to the grassroots. Mm-hmm. They twiddled their thumbs and they played games. They passed resolutions honoring other legislators' mustaches and all sorts of other things.
It's not even a joke.
Not even a joke. It really happened. And yet they didn't get their real work done. So maybe something members of the Texas House should consider on July 8th is, can we trust Dade Phelan, a wimp, a weak-kneed Democrat-type Republican to continue on as Speaker? I think all these guys have some real serious questions about, do we trust the Texas House, the Texas Senate to accomplish in these special sessions what they didn't do in the 140 days they were given by the Constitution.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be a special session indeed. Thank you for going through that with us, Michael.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
I want to thank everybody for watching today. I want to remind folks that up at TexasScorecard.com, right there at the top, right at Tools on the toolbar there, you can check out some of our autopsy reports for the 87th session where we break down some of the big issues, things like we've been talking about, spending limits, right, property tax reform, and see how they fared while the lawmakers were here earlier this year. Our team's been hard at work on those. Please check those out. We've also got our Texas directory up there so you can find out how to contact your lawmakers. And if you haven't subscribed already, you need to subscribe to This Week in Texas. Jeremy Kitchen, our Capitol correspondent, puts out this podcast weekly where he previews what's going on this week in Texas. Okay, it's a must listen. Check it out anywhere you can download or subscribe to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for watching this morning. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.